Greetings to each one this morning in the name of Jesus our Savior. It's a privilege to be here today and to worship with you. A lot of water has been under the bridge. But you know, sometimes it's not the water that goes under the bridge, it's the water that goes over the bridge that hurts us. Been a lot of water over the bridge. Brother James remembers the days of Belize. I was thinking about that this morning, the water over the bridge. There were times that we went to Belize City, and the water was deep enough on the bridge, and you didn't know if the bridge was there, so a man would get out ahead with a stick, and he would walk it. You can't see if it's there, but he wanted to make sure the bridge was there. When the bridge was there, we drove across it. My heart was up in here somewhere. I couldn't handle that as well as some of those older folks down there could. That's the way it is in life. Sometimes we need someone to make sure that the bridge is there, because we can't see it. We can't hardly feel it. And yet God is faithful to us, and he will see us through. And so, as I say this morning, a lot of water under the bridge, but there's been a lot of water over the bridge, and I thank God that you're here. May your faith be strong. Young fellows, you're going to Bible school. It blesses my heart. I went to Bible school when I was young. When I was a little older, I went to Bible school as a dean of boys. And when I went to Bible school a little older, I went as a teacher. I was also there as a principal. Don't tell me you didn't plan any jokes. We know that. We've been there. But there is a time to study and there's a time to play, okay? Just put her down there. Enjoy it. Some of you going to Chile. Some of you going to other places. Jody goes to Bangladesh. Thank God for those who are willing to follow God. Joseph went to Egypt. By his choice? No. But he came out of Egypt by his choice, right? He said, when you leave, take my bones with you. That was a long look of faith. But it was there. And so this morning, I trust that being together and encouraging one another in the truth of God's word will help us a little bit in our lives. I don't know what your diet has been. If I would know that you've been eating asparagus for 6 weeks, I wouldn't give you more asparagus. But if I would know that you were eating peaches, then I'd probably give you a little bit more, because that's what I like. So I don't know what you like. I don't know what you want to hear this morning. I don't know. And so it's like, say what God wants you to say. And so then we struggle with that, because, you know, is it me wanting to say some things, or is this what God wants said? So we've chosen to talk about some of the things that cause difficulty in our lives and how we can come through to victory. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. If you'd like to, you can turn in your Faith and Praise songbook, number 470. You don't have to turn if you like, don't want to. It's a song, Victory in Jesus. It's one that I like. And as you sing, if you want to wander in your thoughts, to your experience, that's fine, go ahead. But when we get to the chorus, I want you to be together in this whole thing about victory in Jesus. Okay? Let's stand together and sing.
I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever he sought me and bought me
with his redeeming blood.
He loved me ere I knew him, and cleansing power, revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. My Savior forever, he sought me and bought me with his redeeming
blood. He loved me
ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about the mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing there the song of victory.
Sing it.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Maybe seated. Thank you for singing. This morning I'd like to go to the Old Testament for an example of a man who was crippled and yet fulfilled. Did you, as a child, do you remember that day when you fell down and you hurt yourself? And your mom stooped over and she kissed you on your cheek and it healed the hurt on your knee? You remember that? Tell me, what did the kiss have to do with it? Not a thing, huh? It was a love that mother had, right? We can get over those things. Tell me, as older ones, how many times have you been hurt? I ask the question, have you gotten over it? No. Some of those hurts go deep, and they stay there. They even cripple you. But can you be fulfilled? Can you find fulfillment though you are crippled? This morning, rise up, stand tall at your position in Christ. That makes a difference. Where do you stand in Christ? Today we have many reasons. We have many excuses. In fact, we have real reasons for anger, bitterness, resentment, retaliation. We have real reasons for them. Let me ask the question, does it ever fulfill? Do those things ever fulfill? A man that has been hurt and he gets whopped on the side of the head, he's going to beat the next man to within an inch of his death. Does that satisfy anything? If you beat a man within the inch of his death, he'll beat you to your death. There is no satisfaction. There is no fulfillment in retaliation, anger, and bitterness. How can we come above, and even though some things hurt and cripple in life, yet we can be fulfilled. I'd like to reach into the past of a young man that we have in Scripture. I'm not going to reveal his name at this point. We'll talk about that little name a little bit later on. Some of the children may not know this name so well, but when we get done, I hope you remember that name. It's a good little name. It's a big, long name. But just to tell you a little bit about his past. He had a grandfather whose name was Saul. Do you know who Saul was? Saul was a man who was head and shoulders above all others. He was a very handsome man. He was a very gifted man. He was very able to do things. He was a very humble man. As he was called by God to lead the children of Israel, you know the story how that Saul could not be found because he had hid himself among the stuff. He felt unworthy. But you know, this man, as he grew in his years, as he became a grandfather, later on, he develops into a very angry, a very proud, and self-serving person. This is a man in this family tree that we're going to talk about this morning. A man who at one time was such a promising person, and yet dipped so low in his anger. And we'll talk about that a little later. Saul had a son whose name was Jonathan. And Jonathan was a dear soul. He was a good friend of King David. King David loved Jonathan as his own heart. They had a friendship that was a very strong friendship. Jonathan was a man who was able. He was a man of faith. There's one time when Jonathan and his armor bearer, they go up on a mountain, go up on that cliff on the other side, and they destroy the enemies of God by themselves, as it were, single-handed. He was a man Let me read you something about this man. 1 Samuel chapter 20. If you want to follow with that, you may. If you want to just listen, it's all right with me. But in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and in verse 30, here is Jonathan. And he's a man now. Listen, we don't treat men like this. But this is what his father said to him, Saul. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness?" Now, if you put that in today's language, I wouldn't repeat it here, nor will I repeat it outside the back door either. That's some pretty low-down words. You son of a rebellious woman. Let me ask you a question. Saul, tell me, who was Jonathan's father? Who was Jonathan's father? The man that was telling him this. That's how this man treated his son. Wouldn't you go out and just slam the door? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? What did David do? Dad, what did David do?" It's enough to have words thrown at you, but it wasn't enough for Saul. He took his javelin and threw it at him. Suffered at the hands and the word of his own father. This is the family tree of the man we want to talk about now. Can you tell me why people always remember you by the worst person in your family tree? You mean to tell me that your grandpa was so-and-so and they always remember the bad things? Why don't they remember the good things? Yeah. Don't worry. They'll remember the bad things, but you don't have to. You can get over the bad things. You can work your way through it. There is a way. I'd like you to turn now to 2 Samuel chapter 4, if you'd like to follow. And here's the little boy that we want to talk about, only grows to be a big man till it's all done. Here's the beginning of this little boy. We're just going to go to verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. Couldn't walk. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Is that too hard for you to say, children? Mephibosheth? You can say it, yeah. It's easy. Mephibosheth, it's a long name, but remember, if you would have seen this little boy, he would have come in probably with his feet all curled up. And I don't know how he got in there. Did he come with crutches? Did he have some kind of a little wheelchair that he came on? Did his mommy carry him? I don't know. But he was lame on both of his feet. Mommy, tell me something. Why do my feet hurt? Because your grandpa and your daddy were fighting in a war, and they lost the war. And the enemies of God were coming, and your nurse picked you up and ran. And when she ran, she stumbled or something happened, and she dropped you. And today, you are crippled. Why was my grandpa such a bitter old man? Why can't I have my dad like other people have dads? Mephibosheth, I don't know. Mephibosheth, does it make any difference to you? Is it all right? Mephibosheth, we'll take care of you. It's all right. Yeah, but Mom, you see his life? You see where he is? This little boy, who is the son of Jonathan, the grandson of Saul, and because of defeat in the life of the children of Israel, he's crippled. So this is the beginning of the story, the little boy. We don't have time to go into that story in lots of details, but we're going to work on it a little bit. It's a very good story. But you know, back in the time when the kings were, if another king came to the throne, part of his work was to get rid of the other king's children so that they would never cause him trouble. And so when another king came to the throne, all the other little boys or the young men of that family, the other family, the old king's family, would run and hide. They were afraid. And so now Saul, you remember how that Saul wanted to get David? Saul wanted to destroy David. Saul even wanted to kill his own son, Jonathan. And so, don't you suppose that King David would want to get rid of these kind of people so that life could go on? 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodibar. Then when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And he may have thought, And where's my head going to be in 5 minutes? He doesn't know David. He's a little worried. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? David said, you remember, you heard the story of your father Jonathan. David may have said, And I loved him. But because of Saul, your grandfather, I'm going to give you the land back. You mean you can say something nice about my grandfather? Yeah, I can. You see, David was starting to show him the meaning of life, not the meaning of worrying about family trees. He said, Come, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I would like you to notice something else when he comes. The scripture says he didn't ask him, Are you Mephibosheth? He just simply said his name, Mephibosheth. I don't know how you are as children. I had kind of a funny name given to me, and I still got that name. And some people ask me if they spell it with an E or an I, D-I-L or D-E-L. I'm not Dilbert, I'm Delbert. But when someone shakes hands with you and can say your name, feels good, doesn't it? That's what David did to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. He said, Your servant. It was a connection. They felt it was all right. Now he goes on, he says, Come, eat at my table. It's fine. Really? He said, Why do you think it upon me as a dead dog such as I am? What do you suppose Mephibosheth could have done in the house of David? You have any ideas? Maybe he could have washed the dishes, or at least cleaned his own room. And if you're going to live in my house, Mephibosheth, you can come here if you want to, but remember this, you're not going to act like a spoiled brat. I'm going to make it work. David told him, he said, Come into my house and eat at my table. What else? Nothing else. You see, there was acceptance. Why? You see his Savior, his salvation. Then king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. You want to finish it? And was lame on both his feet. There are some things in life that will never change. You may be able to eat at the table, but there's some things that never change. Being crippled was one thing that was never going to change in the life of Mephibosheth. What his grandpa did will never change. What his dad did would never change. He was still crippled on both his feet. You're going to have to live with it. There's some stigma to live with. Yeah? Yeah, that's right. But you know you could rise above it. He could live above that. There are some things that will never change in your life. But thank God there are some things that change. And that is your view to your injury. If your injury is going to drive you, then you won't enjoy sitting at the table. Now, I'd like to take you a little bit further in this life. We're going to go to chapter 16 of 2 Samuel. I would think that it's just about enough to be injured like that in life. But that's not the way people treat you. That's not the way people do. This is not human experience. It's not enough. Someone has to add insult to injury. Now let's go to chapter 16. We'll just read here a little bit of what has happened. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. Now, don't you think that's nice? Ziba was a strong man. Let me tell you something. We're not done with the story. Do you know the rest of the story? I'm afraid you do. It's all right. Verse 3, and the king said, and where is thy master's son? Where's Mephibosheth? You see, David went out to fight. He went out in a place of difficulty, and he's coming back. Ziba takes his stuff out to him and says, here's these donkeys and these fruits and these vegetables and the wine. And have at it. Said, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Mephibosheth stayed home, and he said that today I'm going to get to be king. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain to Mephibosheth. Everything that was Mephibosheth's is yours today, Ziba. They're going to have it. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in the sight, my lord, O king. You want to know the rest of the story? It's enough to make you mad. Let's just go over to chapter 19, verse 25. Now David gets back on into the throne. He gets on back into Jerusalem. There is the Hebrew. Verse 24. Chapter 16, verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day that he came again in peace. What do you suppose Mephibosheth looked like? A ragged man. He said, I won't do it until my master comes in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with me? Where are you? You know what Ziba said about you? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me? For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. He said, you're lame, you can't go. He said, I'll take the donkey and I'll go. Then he goes out to the king and he says, the king says, where's Mephibosheth? Oh, he stayed at home. He said he was going to take the kingdom away from you. Everything's going to be restored to him. Verse 26, and he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. Verse 27, and he hath slandered thy servant to the Lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them, which did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. He lied about me. I'm crippled, and not only when I'm crippled, he goes out and spreads a story that ain't even true. Now, can you handle that? It's bad enough to be crippled. And it's worse when your friend goes out and tells a big lie about you. When you wanted to go, Mephibosheth, you wanted to be there, and somebody says, oh no, you can't. You're crippled, stay at home. And then goes out there and tells these big whoppers. Can you take that kind of stuff? And he sees David, and he says, David, you have been an angel of God to me. I'm not even going to talk about all this stuff. David, it's all right. David says, well, let's see. Why don't you and Ziba divide the land? Come on, David. Can't you just admit to me that Ziba is a snake in the weeds? He said, I won't even talk about it. We just let it go. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace into his own house, it makes no difference. If I can walk with God, you can do what you want. You know, it was Mephibosheth's idea to go out there, and Ziba ruined it. But you know, till it's all done, Mephibosheth sees the grace of God. He sees it in David, and he said, land doesn't mean that much. My possessions. But forgiveness, slander, and theft can be there. But let the king prosper. God will be God. Let God be God. The king is at home. Where? The king is at home in my heart. And then it's all right. The king's at home. And the scripture tells us that he continued to eat bread at the king's table with his feet under the table, and he was crippled on both of his feet. I have been troubled. I have been hurt. I have been cheated. Even a close friend has done that to you and to others. But you know, I've been accepted. I've been forgiven. And grace has been bestowed. Now, how shall I walk? Let me just put my feet under his table. When you sit down to the table, it's your fault if you look under it, right? You don't need to look under the table and see if he's crippled. Talk to the man across the table. Forget those crippled feet under the table. When we sit at the table of God's mercy, we don't need to talk about all those things underneath, right? We're set free. Mephibosheth. Children, don't forget Mephibosheth. He wouldn't be angry. Young people, when they tell lies about you, And it will happen. I will guarantee you it will happen.
Be strong. My feet under his table. My name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not because of my father, not because of my grandfather, but because of God's grace. Now this morning, am I a Mephibosheth? Ah, yeah. But listen, have I ever been a Ziba? Have I added insult to injury? Do you have the opportunity to be King David and to say, you are forgiven, sit at my table? If you need a place to understand more about God's grace, just come sit down with me. Let's talk about it. Mephibosheth is a tremendous person. So was David. But there is no one that is greater than our Lord Jesus, who has forgiven me and said, come on in. Be a part of the family of God because of grace, not because of family trees. This morning, who are you? Been forgiven. Feet under the table, but I'm still crippled on both my feet. May God bless you.